A terrific novelist with an amazing new book will be in our region tonight. Margot Livesey's new novel, The Road from Belhaven, is a coming-of-age story set in 19th century Scotland. In it, we meet Lizzie Craig, a young woman torn between love for her grandparents and the love of a man who may not have her best interests at heart. Yet there's a crucial dimension to Lizzie's character. She has second sight. Her gift is both a blessing and a curse, for while she can glimpse the future, she can seldom change it. Margot Livesey was born and grew up on the edge of the Scottish Highlands. She is the author of a collection of stories and 9 other novels, including The Flight of Gemma Hardy, Mercury, and The Boy in the Field. Margot will be at the New York State Writers Institute for a reading at 8 p.m. tonight on the campus of Skidmore College in Saratoga, New York. Her latest is The Road from Belhaven, and we welcome Margot Livesey to the roundtable this morning. Margot, thank you so much for being with us. What a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. I'm honored to be here.
This book is beautiful, and I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it and thought of how special it is at so many different points throughout it. Let us begin with what I just read in the introduction of this idea of second sight. And is that ultimately what brought you to the story itself?
Yes, it is, in a roundabout way, or maybe not a roundabout way, maybe a very direct way. My mother died when I was very young, and among the few things I know about her are that she had a relationship with the supernatural. Much more recently, I discovered that my great-grandmother, Lizzie Craig, also had a relationship with the supernatural, which took a rather different form than my mother's, in that Lizzie could see the future. And of course, I was very fascinated by that.
You have touched on this in your fiction before. So what was it about the knowledge that brought you to the character of Lizzie Craig?
I think it was the idea, and this was gleaned from the impression of several elderly relatives, so it may be highly embellished, the idea that Lizzie could see the future, but there was never anything she could do about it. And of course, that's an old story. It's a version of Cassandra. In Lizzie's case, the things she sees are often much more mundane, but sometimes they're quite important. And the fact that she is so helpless, I thought was incredibly interesting.
How you describe it in the book is these come to her as pictures. How do you see those? How would you describe what those pictures are for Lizzie and the information that they contain?
Well, very regrettably, so far, I do not have second sight. So I did research by talking to 2 friends who do, in a modest way, have this gift. And each described it in a very similar way of seeing a kind of picture. So I took that idea and gave it to my fictional great-grandmother. But I also made her someone with a gift for actual drawing, so that the two somehow came together.
You have said, I've read in previous interviews that you refer to this as your COVID novel, having nothing to do with the pandemic, but this is what you were working on during that time.
Yes, when suddenly it became apparent in March of 2020 that I wasn't going to be able to go back to Scotland anytime soon, I set aside the novel I'd been working on and decided that I must write a novel that enabled me to go to Scotland every day. So The Road from Belhaven became my magic carpet, as it were, the way I could be in my homeland.
Let's talk a little bit about Belhaven in Scotland's Kingdom of Fire. This is where Lizzie is raised by her grandparents. And again, inspired by the life of your grandmother. But what was it that brings Lizzie to her grandparents, and why that's so important of understanding that she comes to them and is looking to find her role in a family.
No, thank you for asking that. I think one of the things that's so interesting about the 19th century, and indeed this persisted well up into the 20th century, was that children were passed around fairly easily. You know, you had too many children, you gave one away, or you passed them on to an aunt or uncle. Lizzie loses both her parents at a young age and ends up with her maternal grandparents living on the farm at Belhaven, the farm that has been in the family for not quite 100 years, but which she feels very deeply attached to. And one of the surprises of the book that I think I can give away is that until she's 11 or 12, she doesn't know that she has a sister. And then very wonderfully, she discovers that she does.
And that is Kate who comes into the story. Kate is someone that she is drawn to, yet is also obviously wants information from, right? Of a sense of background and what she had missed by being raised by her grandparents.
Yes, she thinks of Kate as being the portal, as it were, to her parents. And Kate rather surprisingly insists that she can remember their mother, even though she was quite young when their mother died, and has these small stories she tells about her. So the two sisters have these diametric gifts, if you will, Lizzie with her gift for second sight and Kate with her astonishing memory.
Margot Livesey's new novel is The Road from Belhaven. She will be at the New York State Writers Institute for a reading at 8 p.m. tonight on the campus of Skidmore College. NYSWritersInstitute.org for more information.
As Lizzie learns of Kate and they bond, that is interesting because Kate starts a family and really, Lizzie then becomes part of that family as well as with her grandmother and grandfather.
Yes, she does. And one of the several things that separates Kate and Lizzie is that even by the time Lizzie meets Kate, Kate is very aware of sex and of romantic love in a way that Lizzie is still much more of a child and doesn't realize that there's this dark river, if you will, running under everything that is influencing the behavior of the people around her. So to her, it's she immediately likes her sister's admirer, her sister's boyfriend, if you will, but she has no understanding of the bond between them and is quite surprised when they start to have children.
What is it about the lure of Glasgow, of the lure of a city for Lizzie that comes up in the novel? And without giving anything away, but there is that city versus the country and what they offer an individual.
Well, again, I would say this is very much a part of my own childhood. I grew up in the grounds of a boys' private school, and it was way out in the countryside. And when I first discovered cities, Edinburgh was really the first city I knew. I was tremendously fascinated by all the things that were going on, all the possibilities, the way you could be anonymous in the way that I never could in my country childhood. And I think I give Lizzie some of my fascination. She has led in many ways a very sheltered life, though she is an omnivorous reader. So she has visited cities in fiction. But in real life, she finds the city of Glasgow very fascinating and ends up being torn in a way between that city and her beloved Belhaven farm.
So, like Lizzie, you know your way around a barn and a farmyard.
I do. I spent 4 years of my childhood visiting a farm almost every day. It was owned by a brother and sister who seemed to have come straight out of the 19th century and had this ramshackle farm with hens and cows and sheep and turnips and barley. And almost, it was just on the edge of being mechanized.
There is as much in the book, and you really are focused on this issue of obviously of the future, of wondering what is going to happen in one's life, but also how inheritance will change that and the concerns of inheritance. And that comes up throughout the novel.
It does, and it comes up, I think, in various ways, both the things we inherit from our family. Of course, I was interested that to think that my mother might have inherited her supernatural gifts from her great grandmother, and the more tangible things we inherit, houses, land, money, if there is any. And in all her enthusiasm and affection for Kate, Lizzie is very slow to grasp the essential fact that Kate is her older sister.
In the novel of as Lizzie grows up and is facing all of these questions and the questions of whether to live in the city and the country and whether or not to have sex, these are things that she deals with, and it is always she's very, it seems to me in my reading, very thoughtful of all of this and always wondering and kind of even with that second sight of putting herself in that it would always almost that the second sight would give her more thought, putting more thought into a decision that she would make.
Yeah, I think that's true, that she is a thoughtful, she's a passionate person, but she's also a thoughtful person who's very much trying to find her way in the world. And one of the many puzzling things she discovers is how you can be overtaken by feelings of surprising passion and depth, and how those feelings can make you want to do things that you never expected to do. And the more thoughtful part of herself is very puzzled by that, but it does also help her to understand, for instance, why her mother eloped with her father.
Give us a sense of the relationship between Lizzie and her grandparents. It is a relationship that grows in the novel and it has its ups and downs, certainly. And what it says about grandparents as well as just the family as a whole.
I think by and large, Lizzie is very fortunate in her grandparents. They are, of course, much older than she perhaps at first understands. I mean, and why should she understand it when Flora and Rab both work all the time? Her grandmother, in particular, I think, is an affectionate and lively figure who understands Lizzie fairly well. And her grandfather, although he, is an avid reader and sometimes chides her for drawing in the back of his books, is also, capable of kindness and thoughtfulness. Of course, it's hard for them when she makes choices that begin to take her away from Belhaven, even though they understand in some ways why she would do that.
It took me a while to get to put my finger on the pulse of Lewis, who becomes her love interest in the book. Is this a good guy? is not a good guy. It is, it's something that is a fascinating thing to experience as you go through the book. I am wondering of how you came to that character, and for really want of a better term, sort of the slipperiness of this gentleman.
That's such a good way of putting it, Joe. Well, I really wanted to avoid stereotypes in the novel. I mean, I didn't want the grandparents to become stereotypes, to become very kindly or very cruel. I wanted them to be complicated. And I also wanted that for Louis, her love interest, if you will, that he too has a secret sorrow. He too is more complicated and perhaps more damaged than he first seems. He too is carried away by feeling, and then suddenly remembers other material concerns, if you will. So my hope is that the reader will, like Lizzie, experience Louis in a complicated way, and end up perhaps not entirely endorsing him as a good person, but not entirely condemning him as a bad person. And I think I was also trying to avoid certain stereotypes, if you will, of 19th century fiction. And I wanted Louis to sort of navigate between being the villain and the saint.
And it's usually one or the other, right? The book, the character will either be walking on water or will be sprouting devil horns.
Yes.
In your Louis, there are those moments, though, when Louis is talking about, again, back to inheritance, of what Lizzie is going to inherit, and the great interest in that. And that really sets off the radar as to, okay, so why is Louis interested in this, and what ultimately are the motives of this relationship?
Yes, and I think that too is a quite complicated thing, that, you know, that he's not a gold digger, but nevertheless, he, when he walks around Belhaven with her and he realizes that everything he can see is part of Belhaven Farm, is land that her family owns, that's a very fascinating prospect for him. And of course, very different from his own urban childhood and the disasters that befell his family.
Margot Livesey is our guest. Her new novel, The Road from Belhaven, is published by Knopf.
You tell the story so beautifully, and it's so very comforting with these characters, but there's moments of real trepidation that the reader has of that someone, one of the characters, may be going down a bad path. And what you seem to learn is that and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but it seems that you are exploring this idea that a character like Lizzie, and maybe all of us, don't really get to know that much. We're not given a manual on how to live our lives. A lot of it is just by trial and error and figuring things out, instead of being told these are your options and these are the things that could happen to you.
I think this is something that interests me very deeply, is how someone can be going along in their life, thinking they're going from A to B to C, and then suddenly they swerve to G, or they lose their way and go to F. And I think, I mean, I certainly thought I was going in one direction in my life, growing up in Scotland, going to university in England. But here I am in North America. My life sort of jumped the tracks, if you will. And Lizzie too expects her life to go in a straight line and finds that it jumps the tracks. And I think we all want to think that we're in control of our lives, or in control of our lives to some extent. And of course, we realize that in so many ways we aren't.
Again, Margot Livesey's new novel is The Road from Belhaven. It is published by Knopf. Margot will be at the New York State Writers Institute for a reading at 8 p.m. tonight on the campus of Skidmore College in Saratoga, New York. NYSWritersInstitute.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.